Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Let's pray and get into this. Father, thank you for the Word of God as it comes forth today. The atmosphere is set for the Word not just to be heard, but for the Word to be received and marinated and baked completely to fultrition, God, where we can enjoy the feeding of your Word today, God. And then it goes to us and then it goes through us throughout the rest of the week. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we're just going to kind of jump into this and rip the Band-Aid off right out of the gate this morning. How many of you know in life we face all kind of issues and things going on in our life? That's why we're living on earth, and that's why earth is not our permanent home. Because when we get to heaven, we ain't got to worry about none of the stuff we do down here. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. But until we get to heaven, we are here on earth. It is a fallen, sinful world. We're right in the middle of it. But because we have Christ, we have an advantage in this earth. Yes. Hallelujah. But even with Christ, there are times that we struggle. Can I have an amen there? Amen. And for us to say we don't would be lying, probably. Yep. Now, we don't have to struggle near as much as we are allowing ourselves most of the time. Correct. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. Where the battleground that you're on right now. So let's just go ahead and put up the first note this morning, jump right into it. The first thing you need to understand is the battlefield is in your mind. Yes. Amen. Listen to me now, and I don't have time to go back and re-preach this, but I have preached several times here about spirit, soul, and body, how you're three parts. When you get born again, it's your spirit that gets born again. Your soulish realm does not, your body does not, okay? I wished it did. It would be great if it did, but it doesn't, amen? We get that when we get over in heaven, amen? Now, so the only place you will ever have problems in life as a Christian and on the earth is in your soulish realm, your mind. You've got to think about stupid stuff before you do them. I mean, you may not think a lot, but just for a split second, you've got to think, do I really want to do this? Yeah, boom, you're done. Okay? So it really is, even for Christians, we still have a mind that is subject to a fallen world. Amen? So, now when it comes to being a Christian and doing the things of God, I think we would all agree with this. It's a simple statement. How many know that we cannot do anything without God as Christians? Amen. How would you agree with that today? We can do nothing without God, and everybody agrees with that. But what I kind of want to problem give you today is, I think in the last 35, 40, even 50 years, the problem with the church in America anyway is that we've learned that we have God, but we still do nothing with God. Come on. We can't do anything without Him, but I think we've learned to do nothing even with Him. That's good preaching. And it's called religion. It's called Sunday morning, check the box. Monday through Saturday, live like I want to. Guys, that ain't God. Amen? Can I have a better amen right there? Amen. So I don't want us to learn as a habit of having God but not doing anything with Him. You've got God in your life for a purpose. And you're here in this time and frame of all of history you could have been born. You're here for this time. So God has you here for a purpose, and it's greater than just to look as good as you do and take up room. Turning there and say, you've got a purpose. So now how many would agree that the battlefield is in our mind? So put up the next note. If that's the truth, that the battleground's in our mind, then wouldn't it make sense to renew our minds to Christ? I mean, come on, I'm preaching real easy right now. So if I know I'm going to struggle with my thoughts, with my decisions, and with my patterns in life that all come from the way I think and I process things, then it would behoove me that if I'm a child of God, to renew my thinking and my thoughts and my culture to the things of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says for us to do that. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, one of my favorite verses. It says this right here. Do not, everybody say do not. Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? How? The Bible says that we are to be transformed, meaning we're coming into something we've not been, by the renewing, watch this now, of our mind. By the renewing of the way we think, we process, we respond, we react to life. We have to renew that thing to God. Now notice what it doesn't say here, child of God. To the children of God, he's not telling us we need to renew our spirit. Come on. The spirit doesn't have a problem with anything in the Word of God. The spirit does not know how to go against the Word of God. But in my soulish realm, in all my own mind, my heart, and my decisions, I can go against the will of God, even though I'm a born-again believer. And that's why he's telling us, it's not about renewing your spirit if you're born again. You got to renew your mind to be that born-again, complete spirit, mind, soul, and my body does the things of Christ and honors Christ with my body. Can I have a better amen there? And I've preached that several times here, but I want to get to the last part of this. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, there's a purpose. He wants your mind renewed. The Bible goes on and says that you, not everybody else, now everybody else should be included to this, but everybody say, this is to me this morning. This is the Word of God speaking directly to you and me today as individuals. That you, sir, and you, ma'am, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, when I say that, some people get intimidated. Me in the perfect will of God? Do you know why you get intimidated by that? It's because of your mind. You still have a fleshly, worldly thinking mind that you're identified to Christ by your failures. And because you know you failed and you know God knows you failed, you can't see yourself being in the perfect will of God ever. Then why would God say that you can do it? Now, here's what's funny. Some people will go out and say, well, if I could just make it to the good will of God. It's not possible. If I can make it to the acceptable will of God every once in a while. Listen to me. It ain't possible. The only thing possible for a Christian to do is the perfect will of God. Let me back that up. You can't do the good will and acceptable will of God unless it's the perfect will of God. Right. You're welcome. So if you're shooting for just to be the good will of God, go ahead and tell yourself you're going for the perfect will of God. Because if I do the good will of God, it also is acceptable to God. If it's the good will of God, it's acceptable to God. And if God's accepting this good thing you're doing because you know the mind of Christ, it is the perfect will of God. So the perfect will of God for our lives is obtainable because the Bible says so. But it's not attainable in the way we think outside the Word of God. It's only obtainable to those who will renew their mind to the things of Christ and their identity and who God says you are. Amen. This may shock y'all. I don't feel like a holy man of God and a pastor every day of my life. Shocking, I know. And my actions probably don't even resemble it sometimes. I know you're shocked. But it doesn't matter if I don't feel like a pastor. I'm still a pastor at 24/7, whether I want to be, whether I feel like it, whether I feel like I did good or bad, I'm still called in that position. Amen? You're called to you. Child of God. You may not feel like a child of God every day. Doesn't matter. God sees you as a child of God. That'd be like you having a kid, these kids up here, and Skylar and Rebecca going, the days you do good, we'll claim you. The days you do bad, no, you're out of here. No, no parent's going to do that. And no Heavenly Father does it either. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. So you can get the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. All three of these belong to you. You have a right to them. It's your inheritance. But it comes through a renewed mind. Everybody say the mind. Oh, it's a powerful thing. Now, here's the thing about a renewed mind. Now, not just your mind, but a renewed mind. Now, we're talking about transforming into the image of Christ here on earth. Not when we get up there. Everybody say, on earth. A renewed mind will always, always be willing to cooperate with the true faith of God. An unrenewed mind will struggle with the faith of God. You'll struggle in your faith when you don't have your mind renewed to the Word of God. Can I have a better amen right there?
Amen.
Now, so when you have this renewed mind, you will begin to see the things of God. Now watch this. You'll also, a renewed mind, you'll begin to perceive the things of God. In other words, you begin to see some things of God is fixing to happen. Kind of like a prophetic gifting. A lot of times we call it discernment. You'll begin to discern both good and bad better because you can perceive now out of your renewed mind because you're thinking like the Word. Therefore, you're processing things like the Word. Therefore, next week, I know no matter what happens next week, my God's already got me there. He's gone before me to prepare my way. And when I know this, no matter what happens next week, I know I can face anything. Now, my plan, and I know the plan of God, is to have a great week next week. But if I only have a semi-great week, it's still going to be a great week.
Right.
Why? Because of my renewed mind. I hope you get a hold of this today. I really do. Because when you have that renewed mind, you begin to see the miraculous and the supernatural all around you.
Yes.
I mean, you don't just walk through haphazardly through life and God is moving, God is doing miracles, signs, and wonders all around us. You are here breathing today. That's wild. Don't take it for granted. There's a lot of people not breathing today. There will be people that cease to breathe by the time this service is over. Some of you are thinking, according to how long it goes, I may be one of them. But anyway, we're not going to keep you here that long. Amen? But a renewed mind is so powerful in the body of Christ. Because a renewed mind begins to look at the supernatural as natural. It amazes me when God begins to break out in what he says is normal God stuff, which is healings and deliverance and all the signs and wonders. A lot of Christians go, oh, wow. And there still needs to be an awe of God wow factor, but we ought to be going, oh, that's God. That's God. Yeah, yeah, got up out of the wheelchair. Yes, 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 don't need surgery no more. Yeah, sure, absolutely, cancer gone. Why not? And that you begin, if you don't have a renewed mind and keep a renewed mind, then you go to thinking, well, I ain't never seen that before. I probably won't never see that again. And that's a faith buster. It busts your faith where you don't see it again.
Right.
See, you're done setting yourself up in your mind that these things can't happen around you or you can't see them or even be a part of them. I dare say today if someone come in here and laid down and died on the floor and we began to say, let's bring them back to life in the name of Jesus, you would want me to do it. You're the pastor. That's your role. But what if I pointed at you and said, all you that believe that, come on, you do it.
Amen.
Well, you know, I think I've got to go now. Well, do you see it in the Bible? Do you see it's for any believer? Yes. But see, your mind has not been renewed that's for you. That's not my part. That's somebody else's part. And that's where we got to get a renewed mind. The whole Word of God is for you.
Amen.
Every bit of it. Absolutely. Nothing's left out. You have access to everything, but you've got to have a mind to understand that it is for you. Your mind, renew your mind to the Word of God. It'll bless you, I promise you. Now, let me just say this right here. Go ahead and put the next note up. The renewed mind believes the voice of God above anyone else's voice. Oh, come on, that's huge. Write that one down on your heart. Take a picture of it. Do a tweet it, whatever you got to do. I don't think there's even no tweeting. Exit or whatever. The renewed mind believes the voice of God. This is God's voice. This is the Word of God. Word, His voice. This is the Word, voice of God to us as Christians. So how many of you got them other voices? Now, I have them too. And one of the voices that most, if you ever get born again and you don't hear this voice, I want you to raise your hand. You're not really saved. Anybody ever not heard that voice after you got saved? Everybody look around. Not a single hand went up. How many's been born again? Now that's all the people that had their hand down to say, I've heard that voice. We've all heard that voice at some time. Are you really born again? Are you really saved? You know you really want to go back and do this again. Those voices are coming at your mind. Amen. To challenge your identity of who God says you are and what God did for you to be born again. Yeah. Naturally, if you get born again, the devil's going to try to tempt you out of it. Yeah. He's going to try to jack with it. Because he knows if you get joyful in the Lord, you're going to get stronger in the Lord. Right. Now, an unrenewed mind will never walk in the joy of the Lord. That's why unrenewed Christians are so pitiful. Amen. And so weak to stand against the wiles of the devil, even though they are Christians. Somebody say, the battlefield's in my mind. It believes the word of God over everything. As a matter of fact, in the book of Romans, somewhere in there, I think it's around chapter 3 or 4, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, don't believe the lies of man over the truth of the word. But when you don't really know the word of God and your mind's not renewed to the word of God and you've not studied the word of God to show yourself approved unto God, then you will fall for the lies and the deceptions of man and even the devil when he's telling you, you're not good enough. You remember what you did last week? You can't go pray for somebody to be healed this week. You're sorry yourself. We're going to destroy them lies today. Yeah. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. Now Jesus is always, go ahead and put the note up. Jesus is always the perfect example of what he wants us to have in the Bible. Yeah. Everything you want are meant to have in the Bible, Jesus came to live it, show it to you as an example. And when he got through, it is finished. He then went and said, now it's all available to you. But don't make no mistake, he's the perfect example. And he's even the perfect example of what we're preaching today. In Acts chapter 10, these are the words. How God anointed, come on. So we have God. You have the fullness of the whole triune God here, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in one verse here again. It is God who has anointed Jesus, the Son of God, of Nazareth, with the third part of God, the Holy Spirit, and what? Power. And with power. Are you seeing this? So the Father's here, taking the Son, giving him the anointing of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, into Jesus. And now watch what Jesus does. And the Bible says, who, talking about Jesus, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And we usually stop the verse there in quoting it. But the best part is the last part. For God was with Jesus. God was with him. God was with Jesus. How was God with Jesus when God's in heaven? God was with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what do you and I have access to today? How do we get to the Father? We can only come to God the Father through Jesus the Son. So we get to God the Father because we've got Jesus, accepted Jesus the Son, what his work at Calvary and resurrection, which we'll be celebrating here, and you don't want to miss two services. Okay? And by the way, I forgot, my wife will give me, next Saturday's work day? Next Saturday, we got a lot of work to do around here to get ready for Easter. If you come out 8 to 12 that day, booyah, we'll be here anyway, back to the scripture. You've got God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. In a believer's life, we get to God through Jesus. We've got Jesus until we've gotten God. And then there's a thing called the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 happened to everybody. Right. That they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Guess what they got? They were baptized with the Holy Spirit and power. The same thing Jesus had to have while he walked on the earth, to have the mind of Christ in him, to have the mind of the Father in the Word. Right. Are you getting this together? Even Jesus, at his baptism, when the Spirit descended upon him, it said, and it remained. What remained on him? What remained on Jesus was the mind of the Father. He could think like God, he could talk like God, and he could respond like God, and he could do everything God could do. That's why the Bible says, greater things shall you and I do than Jesus did, because Jesus goes to the Father now. And he said, we can do greater things. That's weird. That is totally weird and out of proportion, out of sight, cannot do it to the unrenewed mind. But to the renewed mind who believes God's word more than you believe religion voices, you got power to do every bit of that Jesus did. You have the power to raise the dead. You have the power to cast out demons. You have the power to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. But if you don't believe it, then there you go. How can you argue with unbelief except try to tell them the truth and the truth sets you free, but it's a truth you receive and activate that really sets you free. Right. Are y'all okay? God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And every time you have that combo, you see an invasion of the impossible becomes their territory. Let me say that again. Anywhere you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, if there's any realm of impossibility, that becomes their territory to step into. And one of the reasons we have a nation like we're having right now, an ungrateful and an unholy nation, is because the God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we've regulated them to Sunday morning only. Because it looks impossible to go out here and combat the media, to combat the perversion that's going on. But yet anywhere the impossible is an opportunity for a child of God to step into. Nobody else has a right to that territory except the church, the body of Christ. Walmart is not going to step in and do it. We know that. No business is going to step into it. No Hollywood movie is going to step into that realm. Now, there are good movies being produced right now, yes. But for the earth to enjoy what God wants it to have, the church has got to step out of the church on Sunday morning and not leave Jesus behind it.
Amen.
You got to take him everywhere you go, 24, take him to work with you, take him on vacation with you, take him to school with you, take him to college with you, take him to Walmart.
Yes.
Take him to Target.
Yes.
Take him to St. Arbucks. Some of y'all said where? St. Arbucks. Starbucks. I just renamed it because I personally don't darken their doors because I don't drink coffee anyway. But some of you do, so don't go into Starbucks. Go into St. Arbucks and make it a holy place of God.
Amen.
Well, they don't like Christians there, so?
Yeah.
Right.
And my answer is so?
Yeah.
Y'all okay? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, power. And he went about doing good because God was with him in spirit, soul, and body. His mind was thinking like God's. If you drop down to Ephesians, talking about the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16 says this, stand therefore, having girded your waist with what?
Truth.
Everybody say truth. Everybody say there's a truth. Then the Bible says, put on the breastplate of what? So we got righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of what? The gospel of peace. It's a peaceful gospel. It's not a thump them in the head, knock them out gospel, unless it's necessary. Now, all this is good. But look at this next verse in verse 16. The Bible goes on and says, above all, taking the what? Everybody say the shield of faith. To which you will be able to quench all. Everybody say all. In the Greek, that means all. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, leave that up there just for a moment. Now, the most powerful part of this, and I've never seen this until here recently, and I've preached this several times, studied it out several times in the original languages and all that. But something jumped out at me just this past year or so. I love this. Watch this. The shield of faith. Oh, that's so important. Now, I'll go, we had the truth. We had our feet shod with the preparation. We got the righteousness on our breastplate. All that's great. But look at the first two words. Above all. Above just knowing some truth, above just having some righteousness on your front side, above just having some peace in your feet, you better have your faith up. Because faith without a truth, without you having a faith to help, your truth's going to be wishy-washy. Your righteousness is going to be what you think you can do in your power, and the first time you fail, your righteousness is filthy rags. And you'll have the gospel, but sometimes you'll want to blast and not do it in love. And you try to be the holier than thou, Christian. You try to be the Holy Ghost police on everybody else's life but your own. That's why the Bible says, above all the armor I'm going to give you, you make sure you get a shield of faith. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Everybody say, my faith. Above all. With which you are able to quench all the fiery darts. Now, in the old days, you got to remember, they had the round shields and they got the, almost like the SWAT team carries today, the full body ones. And it was to absorb or deflect the flaming. Most of the time, the arrows were flaming. They would light them on fire and shoot them. And when you would do this, it would either absorb it or it would deflect it off of you. And then when you were with people, you would link your shields together and make almost an impenetrable shield. Amen? And it would stop all the darts. Now, what we have today is our faith, our shield of faith in today's times, it blocks the arrows, the flaming arrows. And we think of sin and rottenness and deception. And it's for that, yes. But let me tell you, the biggest thing you need to block with your shield is the lies of the enemy. Yes. Coming against your mind. Yes. That's what. And I want to go on and suggest even this. That sometimes we see lies as just black and white. Yeah, we know, But Satan is very cunning and crafty, the Bible says. More cunning than anything on the earth. And sometimes he won't bring you the bold-faced lie to your face, but the way he gets the arrow past you is he will bring you a suggestion. There you go. Oh, come on, somebody say suggestion. Yes. He won't come out to you face-to-face with the lie, because if you're a child of God, he's going to know you know some Bible probably. So he's going to bring you just a suggestion to begin to tempt you to think like that. And when you take that bait of that suggestion and you let down your shield, the Bible says you can block all the darts. And baby, let me tell you something, you can block all of them. But you better have a renewed mind and your faith be in Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to have that happen. Is it possible? Yes. Do most of us do it? No. At some point in time, we all talk. Well, you know, my faith got down a little. I got down in my faith a little bit. My faith, you know, I let my faith get a little weak. And we've all had those moments. And when you have that moment, the arrow, the lie, the suggestion gets through. Think in the shoulder. Think in the heart. Think in the mind. I don't know where the arrow hits you at. But anywhere, I promise you, anywhere you ever get struck by an arrow leaves a wound. Yep. You're wounded. Your faith is wounded. When you're wounded, your faith is wounded. You don't know if you can really trust God now. You don't know if you can really believe God. But it was you that let the shield down. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Everybody say, I got wounds. We all got wounds. But let me give you some good news, though. Now, watch this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible goes on and says, and take the helmet of your salvation. So we're talking to the saved. Everybody say, I'm saved. Now, watch this. And the last thing is, finally, we get an offensive weapon. Everything else here is defensive. Now we're going on the offense. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Woo! This is your weapon. Know it well. Keep it clean, keep it lean, and keep it ready to go at all times. Because the enemy's coming at all times. Amen. Now watch this. We let our faith down. The arrows hit. They stick. They cause a wound. If not treated, they begin to get infected. They get infected with a lie, and you start believing a lie, and then you empower the liar. Are you listening? But if a soldier ever got wounded in battle and took one that didn't kill him, they would go over here to the side. And they had their sword, which was really, most of them didn't fight with a huge sword. It was more of a dagger type, hand-to-hand combat. But they also carried a smaller little dagger. And each one of them usually had it on their body. And it was used, a lot of times they even had a medic back then, that he would come, lay you down. If there's an arrow in you, he would begin to take the small dagger like a surgeon's tool, and he'd begin to cut to where he could pull it out, because sometimes they would have barbs. You couldn't just yank it out or you'd do more damage. So like today, they cut around it, and they cut it out. Why do they cut that out? So you won't die, so that wound will heal. Right. Guys, sometimes, let me just read it to you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Our sword. This is our sword, remember? Watch this. For the word of God is a living and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of soul, which is your mind, and spirit. Oh, I want to stop there, but I can't. And the joints of marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts, our soulish realm. So when you start to begin to get those arrows, your faith begins to wane. You've not renewed your mind to Christ. You're not in your word. You're not in prayer. You're not in worship. You're just in religious form. And those arrows begin to hit, and you begin to believe those lies, and you begin to go with those suggestions of, I got time to wait. I'll be better later on. No, it won't matter if God, no, I got this. I got plenty of time. Those suggestions. She'll treat me better than my wife does. He looks better and makes more money than my husband does. Oh, don't shout me down. Come on now. Oh, if I give him my body, he says he'll love me. And when you begin to believe those suggestions, you're going to fix and get some wounds that are going to last you forever. But the good news is God gave us a surgical tool that even when our faith gets low and some arrows get past us, we've got a tool, a surgical tool, that if we'll use the Word of God, it'll begin to dig that wound out of you, and it'll get it to where He can pour the oil of gladness on it and begin to watch you heal over those mistakes you've made. They're not a death sentence. Your past mistakes is not a death sentence. If you renew your mind, if you will take up the Word of God and begin to surgically remove this junk that's hit you out of your life. Are y'all okay? Somebody say we need surgery today. Now, as important as it is for us ahead of time to recognize lies and suggestions that's going to get us to get our mind out of the mind of Christ, I want to tell you today, it is important to recognize the lies. But I think it's more important for a child of God to recognize the truth. Because the absence of truth is what allows the lies to come in. Let me say that again. When we have an absence of truth in our minds about who God is, who we are in Him, what the Word of God really is, no matter what the world looks like, no matter what's just happened to us, God is true, let every man be a liar. The renewed mind does not get hit. But an unrenewed mind, a person that's gotten low on their faith, gotten out of the house of God, gotten out of worship, gotten out of prayer, you're subject to be hit several times. And then you start believing the lies. And when you believe the lies, you empower the liar. So go ahead and put up the next note. How we think equals the outcome of what God desires in our lives. Now let me say that again. How we think determines the outcome of our life or what God has for you. Now listen to me. Yes, I'm called to this. But in my mind, if I decide I want to quit, I can walk away today and never come back. If I make up my mind to go against God's will, I perfectly can. Now, it won't be the perfect will of God. And I'm still going to stand before God in judgment for this role, whether I've done it or not. Because the Bible says the callings of God are without repentance. I ain't got time to explain that to some of you, but study that word. That'll light you up. Amen? You got to understand. These lies and suggestions are always coming at your identity. It's always making war of, you're not a Christian, you're not a man of God, you're not a woman of God, you're not a good dad, you're not a good mom, you're not a good son, you're not a good daughter. Sometimes you're not. Sometimes we're not. But my God, thank you, Jesus, we're not forsaken in it. We don't have to stay there. All we got to do is raise up that shield of faith, take that surgical knife, begin to use the word on the enemy's devices against us, take that poison out of us, get the anointing oil of God, slap some on there and say, that's going to heal. That's not going to be my identity. That's going to heal. That's going to heal by the word of God. Say amen to that. But how you think equals your outcome. So if you've got a pitiful thinking about God and yourself, then you're going to have pitiful results. Let me show it to you in the word of God. Mark chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus Christ, Him speaking, says this to them, making the word of God of no effect, how? Through your traditions which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Why is the church, in the most cases, getting weaker and weaker every generation? Exactly, because the traditions of man have overtaken the power of God. The tradition of man says, come in, Sunday's got to look like this, it has to be like this, we have to get out by this time, we can only sit during this part, sing during this part, and we've created a tradition that God hadn't got nothing to do with sometimes. And then we wonder why the church, where's the church at? Where's the church at? Church has been fine with Jesus, but church outside of Jesus becomes a religious organization. Well, so you and I today, now listen to this. You and I today have the power to undermine God's will in our life. Exactly. Yes. By one simple process. Stinking thinking. Yep. Stinking thinking. I can't. I'm not good enough. Nobody's going to listen to me. My past is too bad. Everybody knows what I've done. Renew your mind to the things of Christ. Surrender yourself to the full plan of God. I call you the head, not the tail. You're above, not beneath. You've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. The power of God and the anointing of God is within you. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now lives in you. I give you authority to trample over serpents and demons. In my name, you'll cast out demons. You'll raise the dead. You'll cleanse the lepers. You'll heal the sick. I don't know what your identity is, but my identity's in God. Do I see all that all the time? Nope, don't care. I'm still there. I have been trying to raise someone from the dead for 20 plus years. Zero success. I'm serious. Every time I do a funeral, if I get a chance, I get a hand on the body, I command death to leave, I command life to come, I've got power and authority. Yeah, Jesus, let them. And I'm watching, I don't close my eyes during that prayer either. I'm looking to see. Come on, Lord, let me see an eyeball move or something. And it hadn't happened yet. But I promise you one thing. It will never happen if you don't give it a shot. You have a 100% chance of never seeing anyone raised from the dead if you don't ever pray for them to be raised from the dead. So although I may be batting zero, I'm still batting 1,000 in effort. And if God chooses to use me in that way one day, it will be available. It won't be because I didn't try. And see, when you know who you are in Christ, it doesn't intimidate you to fail.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm not intimidated a bit when people go, man, you ain't never raised nobody from the dead. Nope, not one. Not yet. But bless God, I'm going after everyone I get. I think he's weird. I think you're weird. But I'm having fun in my weird. I don't know about you. All right, we got to hurry up. Everything in your mind, the lies, the attacks, the deception, and again, I really want to keep on that word, suggestions that come at you. They're all meant to tempt you in who you are in Christ. And with the theme we've talked about all time, and I do it a lot here, Jesus is the perfect example. He went through the same thing you and I go through. So let's go real quickly to Luke chapter 4. And I'm not going to read, but just three verses. You can read the rest of it and go through all the temptations and all that. But I do want to point something new that some of you may not have ever seen. Luke 4, starting in verse 1, going to verse 3. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, this is right after his baptism, returned from the Jordan, that's where he was baptized, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now watch this. Being what? Being tempted. For how many days? For 40 days by the devil himself. Not just a low-ranking demon, not a high-ranking demon, not a principality. The man himself, the hierarchy of satanic realm, the demon himself, original one, Beelzebub, Satan, the evil one, devil himself, come to Jesus. You understanding? No greater evil. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. 40 days. And afterwards, when they had ended, Jesus was hungry. Just like you and I would be hungry. But now look at the Bible. Don't go on yet. Look at the Bible. We preach this, and again, I'm not trying to knock nobody. We do preach that Jesus was tempted in three ways. But the Bible said he was tempted 40 days straight. Being tempted for how many days? 40 days by the devil. That means he was tempted every day by the devil. And may I suggest to you, and I wasn't there, I don't know the full story. We don't have the details even from the Word of God. But we know that after the 40 days, that's when the three great temptations come. I believe what was happening on those 40 days, he was just putting those suggestions in his ears. He was just giving him a little bit. He wasn't hitting him with the big stuff. He was just watching him getting weaker in his flesh, hoping his faith was going down, seeing him getting frailer. He's hungry. He's just like, he's in a human body, guys. And the Bible says at the end of the 40 days, he's hungry. I mean, he's probably hangry. You know what I'm saying? Now watch this next verse. And the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, now watch this, command these stones to become what?
Bread.
Bread. You're hungry. And so we always talk about the temptation. He was hungry, and what did he do? He used the sword. He used his weapon back. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because every word that comes out of the mouth of God renews my mind to God. But that's not what I'm focused on right here. That's what's always focused on. It's the first thing he told him. It started, the temptation didn't start with the hunger. The temptation started, if you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. Exactly. He went after Jesus' identity. He went to have his mind go somewhere where it's... And it's a suggestive question. If you're the Son of God, then you could... And Jesus said, Jesus could have bowed up like some of us. If I'm the Son of God, let me show you how Son of God I am. I'm not just going to create rolls. I'm going to get the big fat yeast roll with some butter. See, it's trickery. But thank God Jesus didn't operate in pride or stupidity. Thank God Jesus had the mind of his Father. He kept a renewed mind, even 40 days of being suggested and lied to and tempted. And then he gets to the great one when he's really hungry. And he knows he's got the power to do it. But he hit him with the word of God every time. Somebody say, that's our God. Amen? Now, most of us here are old enough to remember in here. In 2019, going into 2020, we had this little thing called a plandemic. Plandemic, yeah. A plandemic. But let me tell you what the most contagious thing that I have seen in recent years. It's the worst contagious thing I've ever seen. It is the pandemic of all pandemics. Somebody say, tell us what it is. It is when the things we have on earth, we have believed more about them than we've believed the Word of God. That is an epic proportion of being contagious from church to church. From everybody say, from Christian to Christian. Amen? And it all boils down to someone's believed a lie. So believing a lie is the worst contagious pandemic thing right now the church is experiencing. Everybody say, it's bad. Now, what happens when our faith gets a little low, even as Christians, and those wounds get in and we don't get them out by the Word of God, we begin to believe the lie, and now we get infected. And now when we get around somebody else, we spread the pandemic to them. We spread the contagious to them. We want them to be infected like us with stinking thinking. I'm going to have to read it just like I got it. When this happens, you want other people to believe, affirm, and accept that this is the truth so you can protect your false sense of identity. When you believe a lie, you want other people to accept it, affirm it, and accommodate it in their lifestyle that this is now truth because you've been hurt and you're in a false identity. We have to affirm your false identity. I'm sorry, it don't happen that way. Why can it not happen that way? Because of the Word of God. But if you're not renewed to the mind of Christ, you'll begin to believe the lies of popular and political correctness. And you'll be suckered right in and be one of the biggest supporters. I've had a talk with several people this week, the condition of our country. Well, according to the other night, everything is fine. Economy's great, border secure, Ukraine's, I mean, it's all wonderful. But anybody with a peanut-sized brain can look at the grocery store and the gas pumps and realize, no, it ain't that great. And the moral standards of our nation have went to the toilet. But people like high politicians sitting in the highest office or the next highest office or in the highest congressional office, whether they're on either side, none of them scare me whatsoever. None of them scare me. And it's not that I'm operating in scared as far as fear is. The most fearful, scary thing is that there's a half of a nation stands up and goes, yeah, that's what we want. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And how do they do that? Because they watch TV and they believe the lie. Yeah. They've got on campuses where all the teachers now are liberal and lost as a goose. And they're teaching Satanism. Yeah. And they're teaching socialism. And they're teaching worldism. And they're teaching any ism but Godism. And then we sat back and go, I don't know why our nation's in such shape it is. Because the battlefield of the mind is being won by the enemy. But we can change that. Touch your neighbor and say, we got to change that. Believe it, affirm it, and accept it as truth so I can protect the lie that I've believed. Let me read. Can I read you one more thing? Pay attention. When you believe the lie, you have to feed it more lies to protect it from the truth that would end up setting you free. Wow. That's why I wrote it down. When you believe the lie as the truth, I now have to keep lying to myself, because if by chance I get a hold of the truth, I know that truth will talk me out of my lie. But I've made my lie my identity. I was born a man, but now my lie is I want to be a girl. And you've got to accept it, you've got to approve it, and you've got to affirm it. Or else you're the hater. You're the bigot. But I'm sorry, I can't. I can't affirm that lifestyle. I can't approve of it. I can't believe in it. Why? Because my mind is renewed to the Word of God, and the truth set me free from having to believe a lie like that. And that's why they don't. That's why they hate the Bible so much, because it's the truth that's really going to set them free out of that false identity. But they believe the lie so much, it's become that, and you got to believe it too. Or we're going to cancel you. Dear God, help us. But let me tell you this right here. For those of you, yeah, I'm going to get up there and just tell them, and like it is. Yes, we need to tell them the truth in love. But to the person out there, I can't affirm your lifestyle. And I'm not just talking about the LGBTQRSTUVLWXYZ bunch. This is the person who's an alcoholic. The drug addict. The divorced mother. The gossip. Those that are sowing discord among the brethren at church. I can't affirm you. I can't approve of that. But the same Word of God commands me I cannot hate you for it either.
That's right.
I can hate what you're doing. But I can't hate you. But by the same Word of God, I'm supposed to try to love you with the truth.
Yep.
And that's why there's so much animosity with the truth when it comes to the false lies and the suggestions of you're no longer. Because they know it's the truth that'll set them free. And they don't want to be set free from the lie, because their whole identity and their attention and all the world is wrapped up in who I am outside a renewed mind in Christ.
That's right.
And the only thing that'll get them out of it is a renewed mind to Christ and getting born again.
Amen.
Are y'all okay?
Yep.
Come on, get me out of here. Now, I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings. But I will tell you some more truth that'll set you free if you'll receive it. If you spend more time, like a lot of people do, getting your information from the mainstream outlets,
that's right,
and all you're watching is what they want to tell you and your beliefs and their political views and all that, and you're feeding yourself that junk more than you're feeding yourself the Word of God, listen to me, your depression is on you.
Yes.
Your depression, your oppression, your false beliefs are your fault. It's not the fault of God. Stop blaming God for what you're allowing to come into you and believe. When you start spending more time with the Word of God than you do turning on the news and the social media and all that stuff and looking at that garbage and receiving that Word, even when you know it's not the Word, well, I just want to understand. No, don't understand. I don't want to ever understand that craziness. I want to minister the Word of God to them in love, yes. But I don't want to get on the level where I go, yeah, I understand how they're doing that. No, I don't understand. And I can never understand the mind of Christ. But if I forfeit the mind of Christ and I start wanting to go along just to get along and be everybody's friend, I don't want nobody to think I'm one of those holy rollers. And I'll start compromising my beliefs and my systems and start, well, let me look at it from your point of view. Well, you can say your point of view, but here's it doesn't matter what your point of view is. This is what matters. I need to get you to understand your identity's here to live the rest of your life for His glory. Oh, my goodness. Everybody say one more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 7 chapters. 2 Corinthians 7, 10. Chapter 7, verse 10. Everybody say, for godly sorrow. For godly sorrow produces one thing. What is it?
Repentance.
What does repentance do? Repentance that's leading to salvation. Not to be regretted. But the sorrow that the world produces is death. Let me read it to you out of the New Living Translation. I like it a little better. Kind of puts it down. For the kind of sorrow God wants you and I to experience, it's one that's going to lead us away from sin, and it's going to result in our salvation. There's no regret in that kind of sorrow. Woo! But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of churches and a lot of Christians are at right now. We have a sense of conviction of the Holy Spirit when we mess up. I always tell people there's two kinds of sorry, especially my kids growing up. I always saw two kinds of sorry, and I saw one way more than I did the other one. And let me tell you the one I saw the most. Let me tell you the first sorry I see operating more in anybody's lives than ever before. Sorry I got caught. I'm sorry after I got caught. If I hadn't got caught, there wouldn't be no sorrow. I'd still be doing it. But they're sorry after they get caught. And there is reason to that. But where's that sorrow leading you to? If that sorrow leads you to repent and either get saved, or if you're a Christian, you repent and you get back to renewing your mind in Christ, it's a good sorrow because it's led you back to where you know you're good. But when you're sorry you just got caught and you try to lie and smooth it over to mom and dad or husband and wife, oh, I won't do it again. Oh, it was a mistake. How was it a mistake when you actually agreed to do it?
Right.
It wasn't a mistake. You did that on purpose. Blame game, cover it up, and in your mind, you're waiting until you think you got enough security, you're going to go do it again. Yeah. You absolutely have in your mind, you're going to do that again as soon as you think you can get away with it. God's not looking. That's not godly. Godly means you come down here and you just pour your heart out to God, you leave it there, and you get up renewed in who you are in Christ, and you go begin to be what God's called you to be. And that's the sorrow that God doesn't leave you in. It leads to salvation. It leads to your renewed mind in Christ Jesus. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Stand to your feet this morning. Here's the thing. You will never know who you really are. You will have no idea of who you are, sir, ma'am, who you are until you know the real Jesus Christ. When you discover who God really is through God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, let me tell you something. You'll know who you are. You'll know why you're on earth. And you will have a destiny that you'll go to. Can I have a better amen there? But you got to accept that. Let me tell you two more things. Just bow your heads real quickly. Anybody here today who truly understands who God made you, you will be a person that will never want to be anyone or anything else. When you find people always wanting to be something else or be something that God didn't make them to be, it's because they don't know who God is. And when you don't know who God is, you can't know who you are. But when you discover who God is in your life, you don't want to be anything else but what God made you. Can I have a yes there? Share one post. I think I posted it this week or whatever. Becoming a Christian is a work of just a moment. Being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. And you can have that moment right here and start your life fresh and new. And we offer you that moment. But that moment should lead you to a lifetime work of becoming more and more renewed to the things of God as you discover who God is every day. As you begin to walk more in His authority, and when you read the Scriptures and study them, they begin to come alive in you. That's your identity. So this morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, no strings attached. You will not join church today. You will not become religion today. You will surrender your life to Christ, and He will become your Lord and your Savior. He'll become your personal Lord and Savior. And you'll become a born-again believer right here today. If that's you, lift your hand up and say, right here's my time. I'm ready to surrender my life to Christ. Anyone here? It may be online, whatever. Let us know if you did. But how many of you would say with me today, the battlefield is in my mind. And there are days that I am so strong, and there's other days I've let my faith down and I've been wounded. But today I want to renew my mind. Today, I want Romans chapter 12, verse 2 in my life. I want to be transformed. Everybody say transformed. I want to be right here today in the presence of these people, God's people, in God's house with God Almighty here. I do not want to no longer conform to this world, but I'm going to be transformed by renewing my mind the way I think. And I'm going to prove that I can have that good. and that acceptable and that perfect will of God in and for, to and through my life. And it is possible even for me, because I'm not believing the lies anymore. I'm not going to let my past be my future anymore. I'm going to let the Word of God renew my mind. And I'm going to walk out of here today so empowered, and I'm going to get up even on a Monday and say, Monday, you better look out. I woke up with Jesus this morning. And I'm not going into Monday like I usually do. I'm going into Monday knowing who I am in Christ. And I'm telling you, your whole life will change when you get this revelation. But Father, we just ask you to bless the hands that went up this morning, God. If there's anyone here that needs salvation, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you're going to come up here in just a moment. I thank you for the anointing of God that's in this place, God, right now. And we ask that you just be with us, God. You didn't say we could be transformed in our minds if we couldn't. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God belongs to you, saints of God. And don't settle for nothing less anymore. No matter what somebody says, if it goes against the Word of God, it's against you. Don't receive it. Rebuke it and go with the Word of God. So, Father, I ask you, just love on this bunch amazingly today. Show yourself mighty in a new, fresh way. And this altar is going to be open here in just a moment. And if you've got any need, maybe you need to rededicate your life this morning. Maybe you need to come up and say, lay hands on me. Just impart some of that renewed mind. These guys would love and gals would love to do that with you up here this morning. If you're sick, if you're afflicted, if you're dealing with addictions, they'll come up here and be able to pray that thing right off of you in Jesus' name. Whatever your need is, don't leave in an old mindset of I can come back or I've got this on my own. The Bible says, pray you one for another that you may be healed. Physically, mentally, emotionally, maritally, past, present, future, whatever it may be. It comes through the body of Christ praying for each other. So Lord, we give you this next time to do the signs, wonders, and miracles right here in our presence by faith in Jesus' name. Everybody says by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can you give me my hand clap of praise this morning? Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.